Well, good morning, everyone. Can I say it is a real pleasure to be back with you here in Brookside in Ahochel. Thank you very much to William for his welcome this morning and for your welcome. I also want to thank you. I know that OMF and the ministry of OMF has been on your hearts as a congregation for many years, even during the times of my predecessors in this job. And we're deeply grateful for your prayers and your support. Not just for us as an organisation, because as William already said it this morning, it's not about organisations, it's about the work of God in Asia, and you've been praying for that, and you've been getting behind that, and your efforts here in Ireland have made a dent, without any doubt, in the kingdom of darkness in East Asia. I just want to say one thing about OMF, and that is that I have lots of copies of our magazine with me this morning. If you'd like to take a copy of this on the way out, you're very welcome to have that. If you didn't know maybe very much about OMF and wanted to know more, well, a copy of our magazine is the best way of getting a feel for what we do as an organization and a part of the world that we live and work in. I want us to read from the scriptures now this morning, from the book of Acts, and a few verses, the beginning of Paul's time in Athens. So Acts chapter 17, I'm going to just read from verse 16 down to verse 21. And I want us to specifically think of the nation of Thailand this morning. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Amen. We thank God for the reading of his word. The nation of Thailand is one of those countries that everybody seems to love. If you were to ask any stranger in the street the names of three countries in East Asia, they would probably come up with China and Japan and Thailand. Seem to be the three that people know the most about. But Thailand is actually, I would think, a lot more popular than the other two, certainly for tourists, and particularly for students who always feel the need to have that year out. Thailand certainly seems to be at the top of the list, certainly with any of the students that I get talking to. Thailand is perfect in lots of ways. It has the perfect climate. It's not in the typhoon belt. It doesn't have hurricanes or things like that. Very little trouble with earthquakes and volcanoes. Accommodation in Thailand is very cheap, as it is actually in most tropical countries. Buildings don't need to be expensively insulated. The beaches are well kept, and the water is just gorgeous for swimming in. The food in Thailand is also something to die for. It really is fantastic. I've been there just for a couple of weeks, and it really is something else. And as a country, Thailand has a certain mystique about it that attracts people who are looking for something that little bit different in their holidays. Its reputation has also probably been helped a little bit by a film called The Beach, which starred Leonardo DiCaprio, and that presented Thailand as a backpacker's paradise, with these exotic beaches hidden away in secret little bays and coves. But as Christians, of course, we look at a country a little differently from other people, at least I hope that is the case. Walking around Thailand gives us a feel for what Paul felt like when he strolled around Athens. recorded there in Acts chapter 17. He took note that the city was full of idols, and as the NIV puts it, this left him greatly distressed. Because Thailand is full of temples, full of Buddhist temples, 31,200 temples to be precise. There are also hundreds of thousands of Buddhist monks, and you see them everywhere you go in Thailand, men with their saffron robes, brightly colored, orange saffron robes. They just can't miss them. And every young Thai male over the age of 20 is expected to become a Buddhist monk for some part of his life, be it just for a year or be it for all of his life. And he's reminded, young Thai man is reminded when he enters the monastery, that he owes everything that he has in life to his parents. And that's stressed, that's preached to him when he's entering monastic orders. And therefore he is told that by becoming a monk, he is helping to repay the huge gratitude, the huge debt of honor that he owes to his parents. Him becoming a monk is good for his parents as well as for him. And that's all connected with the Buddhist belief in making merit. Life, the important thing in life is that you make merit. Now, sometimes we hear this expression used when people describe Christianity as a works Christianity. We tend to see that this was what Paul and the apostles and Jesus was up against in the New Testament, a Christianity or a view of God that believed we had to make merit, we had to earn God's favor by keeping the law, by accumulating as long a record of good works as possible. But it's actually a little bit different for Buddhists, because they don't believe that they're making merit for a personal God. They don't have any belief in a personal God. For them, life is a cycle. You begin life as a baby, and you end life, and then it starts all over again after death, another cycle of life. But the second, third, and fourth cycles of your life are better if in the previous ones you have made good merit. You know, you have engaged in good works, you have shown compassion and kindness to people and even to animals as well. It's a very elaborate kind of doctrine, the Buddhist doctrine of making merit. It's not that easy to explain, but it's a bit like opening a bank account. You open an account in the bank and you begin making deposits. You lodge checks, you deposit cash, and the account grows. And for the Buddhists, it's like that. Every good act, every act provoked by compassion and kindness and goodness towards other people is like a deposit in that account. And so your merit account increases. And it's better for you if that account is always in a healthy condition. But not only do you make merit for yourself by doing good deeds and by becoming a monk is like putting a huge deposit in all at once, but you also make merit for your parents. You becoming a monk puts something in their merit account as well. That's what's believed very, very firmly, and that's why you have so many Buddhist monks in Thailand. Like I said, there are temples and there are monks everywhere. They are unavoidable. You almost feel the whole country is saturated with Buddhist temples and idols and monks. Even the smallest of towns and villages has a temple complex within it. Temples are well kept and generally attractive looking places for the tourist in Thailand. But the Christian sees things differently. The Christian sees men and women bowing, saying prayers, burning incense and making offerings at these temples, and like the Apostle Paul, he or she as a Christian is greatly distressed. Glory is being given to a system that should be offered to Christ. There are about 63 million people in Thailand. That's a population roughly similar to the United Kingdom. Within that population, there are about 300,000 evangelical Christians. Very, very small percentage, about 0.5% of the nation's people. And this beautiful country, which has become a favorite destination for holiday makers, is a very hard place for the gospel. That is the reality. 170 years, it's a long time. 170 years of evangelistic activity has not found Thailand to be fruitful soil. The nature of Thai Buddhism, of course, adds to this being a difficult task, a difficult calling in life to bring the gospel to Thailand. A commonly held perception by Thai people is that to be Thai is to be Buddhist. And this puts a lot of pressure on anyone who begins to show any degree of interest in the gospel. They're criticized immediately by friends and family for flirting with a foreign religion and being disloyal to their country and its people. And that, as you can imagine, puts an awful lot of pressure on people. If they are viewed that way immediately, they begin thinking about changing their religion. And your loyalty to your family is also connected to Buddhist practices. As I said already, by becoming a Buddhist monk for even a short time, a young man is making merit not just for himself, but for his parents, and especially for his mother. You see, his mother can never become a monk and make merit for herself, so she's dependent on her son becoming a monk and making merit for her, improving her cycle of life. And so, a young man who becomes a Christian is viewed as insulting and betraying his parents, and in particular his mother. And for many Thai people, they just cannot contemplate a step in life that would deeply offend their parents. That is just, for many of them, a step too far. And that's one reason, I believe one of the chief reasons why the gospel has moved so slowly in Thailand. But recently there have been some very encouraging changes detected. Attitudes are beginning to thaw. Men and women are coming to know Jesus. There are about 4,000 Protestant churches in Thailand. 1,000 of those churches have been planted since the year 2000. So that's a quarter of all the Protestant churches have been planted, have come into being in the past decade. So that's a remarkable statistic in itself. And stories are trickling out of Thailand of people coming to know the Lord every week. Not in their thousands, not in their hundreds, not dozens of people every week, but there are stories of twos and threes here and there finding faith on a regular basis. Now you might say, well, that's in a country of 63 million, two or three coming to faith every week. That's really not much to crow about. I mean, there could be two or three people coming to faith every week here in Northern Ireland, which has only 1.5 million people. But believe you me, in Thailand, two or three people coming to the Lord every week is really a cause for rejoicing. The OMF Thailand field director and his wife visited the UK back in March, and they came over to Ireland for a day, and we spent some time with them. And they told a story about getting into a taxi at their home in Bangkok to come to the airport to make that flight to Heathrow into the UK. And when the taxi driver discovered that they could speak Thai, he was very curious, like all taxi drivers are, if they discover a foreigner who can speak their language, and asked the question which every Thai taxi driver asks: what are you doing here in Thailand as a foreigner? And they replied, as they reply to everyone who asks that question, we are teachers of the Christian religion. And almost every single Thai person, and certainly every Thai taxi driver, normally responds by saying, oh, well, that's good, because, you know, Christianity is very like Buddhism. It's one of those religions that helps you to become a good person. But this taxi driver came off with something different. He said, you know, that's very interesting. I've learned a little bit about Christianity, that Jesus was the son of Mary and the son of Joseph, but that you don't believe Joseph was his real father. Isn't that true? Could you explain that to me a little bit more, what exactly that means? And the Thai field director and his wife said they had never, ever in their lives before had a conversation like that with a taxi driver in Thailand. Young couple moved into a town up in the northeast of Thailand, close to the border with Laos. And as soon as they got into the house, the husband went off to the local hardware store to buy some things to help set up the home. And when he was paying for his goods at the till, the storekeeper asked that usual question, "Why are you as foreigners living up here in this part of Thailand?" And he gave that answer that they all give, "We are teachers of the Christian religion." And immediately the storekeeper said, "Well, you know what? I've been waiting for 15 years for someone to explain some more of the Christian faith to me." He had heard something 15 years previously that had sparked his interest. It had never left him. He'd always wanted some more answers. And now here was the first opportunity in 15 years to find out something more. And that man is now in a Bible study with that couple in that town in Thailand. Another evangelist tells a story of going to give out tracts to the young men who drive tricycles around this particular town as public transport. And you'll find these trike drivers and their vehicles lined up against the wall, waiting for customers, waiting for passengers. And so he went to the head of the line and greeted the first young man and gave him a tract and talked to him a little bit, moved on down the line, talking to every one of those trike drivers and giving him a piece of literature. He'd got almost to the end of the line of trike drivers when the young man that he'd spoken to at the beginning came rushing up, caught up with him, and interrupted him and said, "Sir," he said, "you give us this little bit of paper, and it says here at the end that if any of us want to find out some more about what this tract says, if any of us want to pray to receive Jesus Christ, then we're to contact you, because that's your name there at the end, isn't it? Well, I'm contacting you now because I would like to pray this prayer. I would like to know this Jesus." And there are stories like that coming into Bangkok, being reported to our directors, they say, every week. And for them, it is really encouraging. And they say in their almost 30 years in Thailand, they have never been there when news like this has been coming in so regularly. And it really is encouraging. So what has perhaps given rise to this change in attitude within Thailand? Of course, we would all agree wholeheartedly. I could ask for a show of hands here, and every one of you would say, this is something God is doing. And you may not feel there's any need to ask any more questions or make any more explanations, but it is worthwhile considering what it is that God is using in Thailand. What he is using within the life of the nation that allows this new attitude to the Christian gospel to happen. What is he using to bring people to faith? Well, more and more people are coming to faith, it seems, because there is a family member. If you have a member within your family, the wider family circle, if you as an individual have perhaps an uncle or a great uncle or a cousin or a distant second cousin who is a Christian, you are 700 times more likely to become a Christian than a Thai person who doesn't have any Christian within the wider family circle. Now, don't ask me how they calculated 700 times more likely. That's a figure I'm just taking for granted. But they said it's much, much more likely that a person can come to faith if there is at least one Christian within the family. And there are now more Christians within families, and they are now more active in sharing their faith with their Buddhist relatives. Literature plays a huge part in people coming to faith. 67% of people surveyed said that it was something they read that started them on this journey to faith in Christ. And the Thai culture has always been literate. People have been well educated from they were children. Even in the rural, remote areas, education has been good, and people are always reading. And literature has been very, very effectively used in those 170 years of evangelism. Crises within the nation has also been used by the Lord to change people's minds and hearts, to change their attitudes. Thailand has undergone a number of huge social and political upheavals in the past 30 years. They've had a number of coup d'etats when the military has taken control of the country and ousted the government. Some of these have been very bloody and involved the deaths of thousands of civilians on the streets of Bangkok and and other major cities. There's huge unrest at present in Thailand over the legitimacy of the current government. And people are becoming deeply disillusioned with their politicians and their corrupt ways. And there's perhaps nothing very new about that, you might say. These crises that the nation seems to lurch to from one year to the next cause people to reassess their values and has caused many Thai people to think again about putting so much faith in their politicians and in their government. Migration. In the past 10, 15 years, most of the countries in East Asia have seen huge migrations of people from the countrysides to the cities. When people move away from the countrysides where family connections are very, very strong, where not just your parents and your brothers and sisters, but your aunts and uncles and your cousins are all keeping a very close eye on your behavior. When you move away from that environment into the city, and those ties are broken at least for a period, people feel free to consider other options in life. People feel free to talk about the possibility even of embracing another religion and even Christianity. So migration, because it has happened on such a vast scale throughout East Asia and particularly in Thailand, that means a lot of people have found Christ because those old, strong, hard connections with family have been loosened. Church growth in Bangkok in the past 30 years, most of it is linked to migrant workers coming to know Christ, and then they themselves becoming very zealous evangelists within the cities of Thailand. There are also changing perceptions within individuals in Thailand for other reasons. The Thai royal family is revered in Thailand. If you think that the royal family in the United Kingdom is highly respected, highly regarded, well, it goes to another level completely. In Thailand, they're almost worshipped as gods. Everything they say, every public statement they make is taken very, very seriously. Not so long ago, the Queen of Thailand made a public statement regarding the conflict in the south. The south of Thailand has had an ongoing conflict between Buddhists and Muslims in the three provinces which border Malaysia for 20, 30, maybe 40 years. That conflict has been going on. And the Queen made a statement to try and help or move the peace process along in that part of Thailand. And it seems like a rather innocuous statement to us, but it meant an awful lot to the Thai people. She said, you know, whether we're Muslim or Buddhist or Christian, we are all Thai. And so for that reason, we should not be attacking each other and killing each other as is currently happening in the south. Now that, to you, might sound like a typical sort of statement like a member of the royal family or a politician might make. But for the Thai people, it meant an awful lot. Because so many grew up believing that to be Thai was to be Buddhist. But here's a member of the royal family saying, you're Thai even if you're a Muslim, even if you're a Christian. And this has given an awful lot of people freedom to consider being something other than Buddhist and realizing that they can still be a loyal Thai citizen, loyal to their country and loyal to the royal family. And another reason why the gospel now is finding home in Thailand is because many churches in Thailand are becoming more serious about their evangelism and about mission, taking the task seriously, coming up with strategies and methods for doing evangelism locally. And that, of course, is issuing in a greater response to the gospel also. All of these factors together are creating opportunity for God's word to be heard and responded to by Thai people. And it gives us cause to rejoice, but of course not to be complacent. We in OMEF have been granted 300 visa places by the Thai government, and that's an amazing blessing. We can have 300 people living and working in Thailand at any one time. It's wonderful. So many of the countries we work in, we have trouble with the Bureau of Immigration refusing to renew visas, refusing to grant new visas. But Thailand have said, you as an organization can have 300. It's just incredible. But up until now, OMF and Thailand have been able to fill only 200 of those 300 places. There are 100 not being used. When we have a time like the present, when it seems perhaps the Spirit of God is blowing in fresh ways through Thailand, we need to be putting more people on the ground. We need to be sending in more evangelists and church planters and Bible teachers. And so for that reason, we need you to be praying with us, continuing to pray with us, that God will send more workers to Thailand, more workers to Thailand too, out of Ireland. You know, Ireland is rich with people who are gifted Christians who have grown up in churches where they've been given a good understanding of the Bible and of the gospel. Gifted people. We need you to be praying with us that God will send Ireland's best to places like Thailand. Let's pray together. Our Father God, we do rejoice in these stories coming out of Thailand of groups of people coming to know the Lord on a weekly basis and of your gospel moving, your Spirit at work, regenerating hearts, giving people faith and repentance, drawing them into the love of Christ. For this we are grateful, we give thanks. We pray, Father God, that you will send more to Thailand at this time. And if this is a time when you're moving in new ways and doing new things, we pray for the people to be there responsive to you, moving into new villages and towns and cities, bringing the gospel, training Christians, teaching the church and discipling its people. We pray for more from Ireland. Pray even for people from Ahochel, from the Ballymena Presbytery, from even this congregation, to respond in obedience to your call to Thailand. Amen.